This morning, I want to come to you from just one scripture verse this morning, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. The King James Version says it this way: "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Then NIV, New International Version, reads it this way: "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves." This morning, I want to share from the subject simply this: stay humble. Stay humble. A little boy was given a small part in his kindergarten graduation program. He practiced it day and night. On the day of the auditorium program, he performed admirably. But on the way home, his mother noticed that he seemed angry. "What is the matter, Billy? You should be happy. You did so well, and your teacher and I are so proud of you. What's wrong?" Billy shouted, "They didn't clap." I wonder how many Billies there are among us. They perform well, but for all the wrong reasons. They do it for the accolades. It is the recognition that feeds them. They crave being number one because of the applause. They always need someone to tell them how great they are. In our text, the Apostle Paul was in prison. Regardless of what would happen to him, whether he was released or martyred, he wanted the church of Philippi to continue on the right path of honoring and glorifying Christ. He had already heard they were conducting themselves as true believers and citizens, not of Rome, but of the kingdom of God. But who here knows that it never hurts to reinforce what you have already taught? So Paul puts his thoughts down on paper with the help of a stenographer. The letter will be delivered by Camel Express to this new church Paul himself had founded. There is a whole lot of advice packed into this first epistle or letter to the Philippians, and it would take a lifetime of sermons to address it all. There's the command to stand firm in Christ, to remain in fellowship with the Spirit, and to express tenderness and compassion toward others. The Bible Knowledge Commentary divides Paul's first letter to the Philippians in four parts. First, encouragement for Christian living, examples for Christian living. Third, exhortations for Christian living. And number four, enablement for Christian living. However, today's sermon comes from examples of Christian living, and specifically just one verse, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. There is enough in that one verse to justify an entire sermon about self-recognition and selfish ambition. Let us break this verse up into three parts for our personal spiritual digestion. First part of the text says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory." In this statement, the why is just as important as the what. Why was Paul bringing up this subject of selfish conceit to a church that he has already commended for their faithfulness to the gospel? I'm glad you asked. The answer is simple. There are always a few who refuse to fall in line and do the right thing. In verse 1, Paul reveals that he knows about the attitude problem of some in the church. In the original Greek text, he uses a word which describes those who oppose his teaching, and we know what that's like. Put 10 people in a room, and at least one will not agree with the other 9. Vainglory or vain conceit is almost always the motivation. It is the root cause of selfish ambition. Notice I did not say self-ambition. We should all have plenty of that. The scripture teaches us that if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. But there is a difference between self-ambition and selfish ambition. In fact, if we are not careful, self-ambition is a slippery slope that can lead to selfish ambition. You can start out wanting to be a doctor to save lives, but you can end up focusing more on the money than the medicine. You can start out wanting to use God, your God-given voice, to sing to the glory of God, but you can end up demanding a solo. You can start out being the called of God, but it can end up being all about the amens. It's right to polish up those gifts God has given you, but be careful not to feed your own vanity. That fuel comes from the flesh, not the spirit, and it can lead to narcissism, arrogance, egotism, and all around big-headedness that will cause you to say things like, I'm the best candidate. What have you got to lose? The beauty of me is that I am very rich. Nobody builds a wall better than me. I will be the greatest jobs president that God ever created. I know better than any judge. I know better than the generals. I would give myself an A+. My Justice Department and federal law enforcement foiled a dangerous plot against the governor of Michigan. The key word is my. If you live a Christian life, it is never about the accolades and the applause. Did I say never? No, Paul said it. Paul says, let nothing be done through strife and vain glory. That word nothing really caught my eye. Nothing means zero. It means zilch. It means zippo. Paul leaves no wiggle room. In other words, everything cannot be all about you. In fact, nothing can be about you. It's all about Christ. It is not about your car, your clothes, or your house. It is about Christ. It is not about your job, your position, your promotion, or your degree. It is about Christ. It is not about your fortune, your figure, or your fame. It is about Christ. Lord, have mercy. Which brings us to the second point for our personal spiritual digestion. Paul continues saying, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Then he says, but in lowliness of mind. Paul follows up two negatives, strife and vainglory, with a positive exhortation. Let us take the first part of the B clause, lowliness of mind. The Greek word for lowliness of mind means to have a humble mind. Humility is a Christian requirement and obligation and necessity. If you're going to wear the title, you should be willing to wear the whole garment. And humility is an important part of the Christian uniform. 1 Peter 5:5 says, we should be clothed with humility. Proverbs 15:33 says, before honor comes humility. Proverbs 29:23 says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Jesus said in Matthew 23:12, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. My brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is our supreme example of humility. Paul says we should exhibit the same like-mindedness as the Savior, who made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, modest, meek, and lowly. Which brings us to the third and final point of our spiritual digestion. Text says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. And here it is. Let each esteem others better than themselves. Paul knows the true test of humility. It is not just putting others first, but also holding others in higher regard than yourself. Some Christians might say, I have a mission heart and I help others in need. It is really necessary. Is it really necessary to think of them as being better than myself? And the answer is yes, because it is an act of pride to think of yourself as being better than someone else. And pride is a sin. A spirit of pride in our human relationships reveals a lack of humility before God. Paul knew that it would take a display of uncommon humility to help the Philippians resolve the disharmony between them. The best way to invite harmony within the body of Christ is for each of us to be concerned more for the interests of others than in ourselves. Think for a moment. Which is better? To think highly of yourself, or to have everyone you know think more highly of you? Any preoccupation with yourself is sin. Being fixated on the need for accolades and applause will cause you to miss the opportunity to display selfless humility one to another. You will miss the chance to form new relationship with other believers. You will miss the chance to form new habits, set new goals, develop new attitudes, and hollow out a new reputation. Don't whet your appetite for accolades and applause. Satan tried it, and he was thrown out of heaven. Instead, wash yourself, mind, body, and spirit with the blood of Christ. Be humble. Stay humble. Christ is the bread that satisfies your hunger. Christ is the fountain that quenches your thirst. Christ is the light that removes all strife and vainglory and replaces it with a humble servant's heart. Be clothed in humility, for God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. My brothers and sisters, in your humility, the Lord is preparing you. He is perfecting you for the work of the ministry and for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. It's not about you. It's about him. It's about Christ's suffering and his sacrifice. It's about Christ's help for the helpless, Christ's hope for the hopeless. It's about Christ's defense for the defeated. It's about Christ's grace for the guilty. And it's about you in him. It's about the cross Christ wants you and I to carry and the work he wants us to do. It's about his plan and his purpose for our lives. Through his humility, you and I can conquer pride. Through his love, you and I can conquer hatred. Through his peace, you and I can conquer hostility. Through his spirit, you and I can conquer our flesh. Earthly accolades and applause cannot compare to heaven's reward. Earthly accolades and applause are temporary, but Christ's reward is eternal. And all of heaven will applaud when you stand before the Lord and hear him say, well done, well done, well done, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter now into the joy of the Lord. I want to encourage all of us today to be humble. I want to encourage all of us today to stay humble. Allow God to raise you up. Allow God to tell you what a good job you're doing. Because as long as you're doing it for the Lord, only what you do for Christ will last. Stay humble. My brothers and sisters, if there's someone on this call this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior, I want to extend that invitation to you. I want to do it through a prayer. And I simply ask that you repeat after me. Dear Lord, I acknowledge that you, Jesus, are the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross, that your blood was shed for my sins, and that you arose from the grave and conquered death. I understand that I was born a sinner and that I have sinned by disobeying your commandments. I ask you to forgive me for these sins. Please charge my heart, change my heart to be like yours, loving and full of forgiveness. Help me to obey your teachings as recorded in the Bible. Bring people who can help me on this new path. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Thank you for saving me from death and giving me new life. Amen. If you believe the prayer that you just prayed by faith, you are saved.